everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, John Engineering, and producing our program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We are off and running on Election Day in America. It is Tuesday, November the 8th, 2022. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, KVOI. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. Without further ado, let's go right to the live line. And Courtney Sloniker, the executive director of the Southern Arizona chapter of the American Red Cross. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
Hey, Bill, how are you doing? Thanks so much for having me on the air.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I wanted to get you on the air here in advance of the holiday season. Folks get so wound up with the holidays. Well, blood donations suffer in many cases. What's your situation now with blood, Courtney?
You know, that's a great question, Bill, and I'm so glad you brought up the holidays, because historically we see blood drive shortages across the country when we start creeping into that holiday time frame, starting with Halloween, moving into Thanksgiving, and, of course, that Christmas holiday. And, you know, right now we've seen really great donor turnout, people that are, you know, booking regular appointments, but we do anticipate almost every year that we see those donation appointments drop. And we're really asking people to book your appointment, keep your appointment, block out that hour of time. And, you know, you can create a new tradition this holiday season. You know, I'll use all those turkey puns, you know, carve out a new tradition this season.
Yeah.
And those Christmas puns of giving the best gift you possibly can, the gift of life. So we really encourage folks, you know, emergencies, blood transfusions, don't take a break during the holidays. You know, people still are in traumatic car accidents. People are still battling cancer. Burn patients are still suffering. It's those folks that we need to be reminded of during the holiday season, because they're in the hospital. They're at home battling, you know, these different diseases or injuries, and they're relying on us, the American people, to roll up a sleeve during that holiday season, carve out that time. Really, it's a minor inconvenience for someone that is counting on us to be there in their great time of need.
Courtney, the protocols kind of changed with the pandemic. Used to be people would just kind of walk in. What is the procedure now if someone is eligible? We can talk about that. Who is eligible to give blood, and how do they go about doing it?
I'm so glad you asked about that, Bill, because prior to the pandemic, like you said, we were able to accommodate a lot of walk-ins. So you have an hour or a couple hours free up on your schedule that day. You could walk in, get an appointment. And the pandemic really, I guess was the catalyst for us to really drive appointment-based donations, because we wanted to ensure we could accommodate social distancing. We wanted to ensure that we could space out our donors so there's as little interaction as possible from donor to donor to protect everybody. But the positive out of that was it allowed us to manage the blood supply much more efficiently, because now we can see, okay, we have so many appointments booked, we're 80%, so let's get to 95%, let's get to 101%, knowing that there's going to be about 10% of people that are going to get deferred on their day of donation. Maybe their blood pressure's too high. Maybe their heart rate's too high. Maybe their iron is too low. You name it. Those things, unfortunately, pop up every time we host a blood drive. So those appointment-based donations really allow the Red Cross to manage 44% of the nation's blood supply, seeing how much we're going to collect every day, because we really weren't counting on those walk-ins, because we really had to eliminate the walk-ins. Eligibility-wise, you know, as a donor, 16 or older here in Arizona with parental consent, you have to be healthy on your day of donation. So be, you know, symptom-free for at least 2 weeks of anything, whether it's COVID, the flu, RSV, you name it. There's a lot of things that we're all battling, you know, day in, day out and exposed to. But generally, you want to be healthy on your day of donation. We do that mini physical when you come in to see us. So we're going to check your heart rate. We're going to check your iron levels. We're going to check, you know, your blood pressure and your temperature, and just make sure that your body is ready to make a donation today. Other eligibility requirements, you know, there's a lot of different rules that the FDA sets for eligibility, and every single blood bank across the United States has to follow it. Whether you, you know, go to Vitalant, you go to the American Red Cross, you go to a state blood bank, we all follow the same. And so those eligibility are constantly being reevaluated, whether it's certain medication deferrals. Maybe it's you were in Europe in the 80s. That deferral is coming off. So the best thing to do is, if you don't know if you're eligible to donate, give us a call, 1-800-RED-CROSS. We will have a confidential conversation with you, with one of our representatives that work in the biomedical field, and see if you're eligible to donate. And get you, and then once we find out your eligibility, we'll go ahead and book an appointment for you. It's a pretty simple process.
Now, what is the difference, Courtney Slonica, with the donation of just regular blood and what are called platelets?
Great question. So there's a couple different types of blood donations that we can do. A whole blood donation is your kind of your quick and easy donation. You come in, you're with us for probably not more than an hour, and we take a pint of blood, which has all your blood components, your red blood cells, your platelets, and your plasma. When you make a platelet donation, you're actually going to be with us for maybe 2 to 3 hours, so you can catch up on your Netflix series, your Disney Plus series. But what actually happens during a platelet donation, as we take your whole, you know, the whole blood out, it goes through a centrifuge process, and it separates your platelets from your other blood components. So your three main blood components are red blood cells, plasma, and platelets. When we do the platelet donation, we separate out those platelets, and then we return your other blood components, so your red blood cells and your plasma, with a little saline solution back into your system. So it does take a little bit longer, because that centrifuge process, you know, it's separating the platelets out. Same as a plasma donation. So there are folks that can do plasma donations, again, where we separate out the red blood cells and the platelets from the plasma. We keep the plasma, and you get those other blood components back into your system with a little saline, a little hydration to help with the donation process. So the platelets and the whole blood are different, because we're collecting different components of your blood. And they take a little bit longer. A whole blood donation, again, you're with us maybe 45 to 50 minutes. And the actual whole blood donation itself, the time when, you know, we stick you with the needle till you fill up that pint bag, is usually not more than 7 to 10 minutes. And if you're competitive like me, you're trying to fill that bag, you know, and beating your personal record every time. So maybe it takes you 7 minutes to fill the pint. Next time it takes you 6.5. So turns into kind of a fun competition for some of us donors. But those are the main differences between the different types of blood donations that you can make as a donor. If you're not sure what the right donation is for you, give us a call. We'll, if you don't know your blood type, we'll work with you. Your first donation will tell you what your blood type is. It's a great way to learn a little bit about your own personal history. And good to know if you ever need a blood transfusion, what your blood type is. But we'll also talk with you, because there's different universal donors based on the blood product being collected. So our whole blood universal donor, where anyone can receive the blood, is O negative. But for platelets, I believe it's AB negative. So there's different donations that are actually best for your blood type that can help more patients, and we're more than happy to talk to you about it.
All right, Courtney, we're going to have to wrap it up. Where should people go for more information?
You can call us, 1-800-RED-CROSS. We'll talk to you on the phone. We can book an appointment for you, or go to redcrossblood.org, book your appointment. The best way to prevent a blood shortage is by regular, ongoing, year-round donations. And we thank you so much for rolling up a sleeve and helping us save lives.
Courtney Slonica, always a pleasure. Executive Director, Southern Arizona Chapter, American Red Cross. Thanks. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving to you and your family, Courtney.
You too. Thanks so much for having us on, and we pass our gratitude to all of the donors out there listening.
All right. Thank you very much. It's the Buckmaster Show, and this portion presented by our friends at Mona's Danish Bakery. We have Mona's getting very excited about the holidays. We've got Thanksgiving just around the corner. What do we have? 2 weeks from Thursday for Thanksgiving. So Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, taking orders now for Thanksgiving pies and dinner rolls. Shelley Fishman's with me in studio giving me a thumbs up. But Shell, I'm going to have John open your mic because I'm going to ask you a Thanksgiving question.
Okay.
Are you ready? What about the pie that you would prefer on your Thanksgiving table for dessert? Is there a
coconut cream?
Ooh, wow. When it gets into the cream pies, yeah, I go with a coconut cream, banana cream, and chocolate
cream. Oh, banana cream.
Oh, they've done that. Suck.
Okay, can we have
cream
some of everything for dinner?
Maybe we'll skip the turkey this year. We'll go right to dessert
and
the cream pie.
There's a turkey shortage anyway.
Well, Steve and the team will, if it's a pie, they can do it for you. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. Open right now for lunch. They open for breakfast. 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. for breakfast starting on Sunday, and they're closed Monday. Be right back. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Cream Pie Shelley Fishman. Well, I hadn't thought, you know, I was expecting you to say, well, pumpkin, the traditional. But, you know, cream pie sounds awfully tempting.
I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad had coffee shops, luncheonette type stuff in New York City. And he didn't make anything himself. It was all bought from restaurant suppliers. But I'll never forget the coconut cream pie that they got. And I didn't have much discipline as a kid, and I ate far too much of that. And when you asked the question, I didn't know it was coming. The first thing that popped into mind was I could almost taste that that taste.
No, it's a wonderful,
fun memory.
It's a wonderful dessert. And peanut butter cream pie,
peanut butter cream pie.
Whoa, that sounds kind of tempting.
No, peanut butter sauce on spaghetti can be very, very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's just do a food segment. No,
okay. No.
We've got, I think the New York Times, was that in today's Times? They really hit the nail on the head. The Fed won't say it, but it doesn't. The stock market people really, well, the Fed won't say it, but it doesn't want a strong stock market. I think that that's kind of where we're at.
That was yesterday's Times. Peter Coy wrote an opinion piece. And, you know, you and I have been speaking about the fact that the Fed has to do what they have to do. And I've been complaining about the fact that the Fed seems to be working so independently that they're not coordinating with other things that could be done to control inflation. But one of the things Peter Coy says, and really the whole reason for this article, and I would suggest it to anybody who's really interested in this subject, it's a little wonkish, but it's a really good article, is he points out that when the stock market goes up, people feel richer. People who feel richer tend to spend more. When you're trying to control inflation, spending more ain't a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he won't say it because Powell, I mean, would never say he's trying to crash the stock market, but he probably doesn't care what the stock market does as a reaction to the things he does in running the Fed. That said, I can complain about it.
Yeah, like what happened last Wednesday.
Well, okay, so last Wednesday,
it's like a repeat of what had happened a couple of months ago when he spoke, right?
The market reacted differently to
it.
So what happened was the Open Market Committee raised interest rates another 0.75%.
Right.
And the committee then issued a statement that indicated that they were going to kind of ease off this 0.75%, you know, every couple of months raising, and the market went nuts. It said, oh, great. And then a half an hour later, Powell got on and said, now we still need to do a very aggressive control on inflation. And so the market's kind of scratched its head and went, these confusing messages?
We're not on the same page.
Not on the same page.
Yeah, they were just.
Then people got to think about it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday was a very good day in the market. Friday was a very good day in the market. Yesterday was a very good day in the market. And guess what? Even today on a Tuesday, we're up a couple of hundred points on the Dow. So what we've seen is that the market is optimistic that the Fed and the other things that are being done by the administration to try to curb inflation will engineer, with our fingers crossed, a soft landing, which is to say that inflation can be controlled, but at the same time, we won't see a high rise in unemployment. And that's the thing that's so scary. In fact, if you read Peter Coy's article, he talks about Paul Volcker back in the late 70s and the early 80s, trying to control inflation regardless of what happened to the unemployment picture. And remember, last week on Thursday and Friday, we got employment numbers that, you know, were head-scratchingly good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once again, It beat the estimates. We were supposed to have about 200,000 jobs created, and it turned out to be somewhere between 270 and 280,000 jobs created. Unemployment ticked up to 0.1 of a point. Who cares? It's still excessively low. And so I think the market said, well, let Powell do his thing for now. At some point, he's going to see the light. And we'll bet on the corporate results continuing to be good and improving even over into 2023. I think that's the right thing. I think that's an accurate view of what's probably going to happen.
But Shelley Fishman, the perception in the American public, the mood is sour. 80% of voters now think the economy is in terrible shape. Well, but the reality is a different story.
That's absolutely right. There was a statement that came out from some polling last week that said 80% of voters think the economy is in bad shape. So, is the economy in bad shape? Well, no. The economy is growing positively. GDP is somewhere just south of 3%. We see an unemployment very, very low. Corporate earnings are pretty good. The stock market is recovering. In fact, this came out sometime last week, and then I didn't believe it, so I ran the numbers myself. The stock market, despite a bad performance this year, and it has been a bad performance this year, is still higher than at any point during the Trump administration. Mm. At any point. Mm. I mean, even before the pandemic, it's about 17 points since Biden's inauguration and more than 2,200 points since the 2020 election.
You didn't mention inflation.
I didn't mention inflation. I thought we did, but let's you know.
I was just being.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Just kidding.
So when you take a look at the economy, with the exception of inflation, the economy is in very good shape. It's a strange economy.
Because the reason kind of said that you didn't mention inflation is because that seems to be. If you listen to the pundits, that's what is on everybody's mind.
And it is on people's minds, and it should be on people's minds, Bill, because it's there. It's at around 8%. If you take a look at the measure of inflation that is more widely used, it's about 6.5%. Wages this year are up over 5%. The gap between inflation and the increase in wages on average is only about 1%. And you've had stimulus that people got and put in their bank accounts. So there's still money that people are spending.
Yeah.
Inflation is high because the balance between supply and demand is out of whack. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that there's two main reasons, three if you count global warming and the effects of all these forest fires and floods and stuff like that. But just look at the war in Europe and what that has done to food supplies. And you take a look at the pandemic and especially China's no pandemic policies have caused upsets in the supply chain that have just caused those industries that are directly affected by those supply chains to have higher costs. In addition, you've got, 4.75% raises from the Fed, which has just made mortgage rates go through the roof. And so what people are, and the war, of course, is driving gas prices higher.
Yes, it
is. So when you take a look at that, the things that are in people's view, every single day are very alarming. And that is causing an ability of people to be swayed into believing that the economy is bad. The economy isn't bad. In fact, there are so many untrue things that people believe about the economy. One of the most common is that Republicans are better for the economy than Democrats. Well, if that were the case over the past 70 years, you would have seen better performance during Republican administrations than Democratic administrations. The flip is true. In fact, Democrats outperform in GDP growth and in stock market performance, and not by a little, by a lot. If you were to take a look at, for instance, Republican policies on cutting taxes and using tax cuts to provide cash into the economy so that the economy will recover, the work that's been done to take a look at again, the same period, 70 years, every time, and it's not just once in a while, every time you have an increase or an increase in taxes, especially at the top tax brackets, GDP growth goes up. And when you have a cut in taxes, GDP goes down. So the intuitive beliefs that we have about managing the economy are really, you know, kind of weird. One of the things, war is good for the economy. War isn't good for the economy.
No, it's not.
The Vietnam War wasn't good for the economy.
Nope.
The Korean War wasn't good for the economy. Well, the Korean War. Still, during the Korean War, we had two recessions during the Eisenhower administration. So all of these myths are easy to get people riled up about. But when you really look at them, Bill, and take a look at what's really going on, the economy is in pretty good shape. The risks of a recession are lowering, I think, over time. I think we'll be fine.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thanks so much. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love Green Things. They're a wonderful sponsor. And they are getting ready for the holidays. They have 20,000 poinsettias that they grow at Green Things, and they are now ready to well, beautify your home as you get ready for the holiday season. They'd be beautiful around maybe the fireplace area as you get ready for Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving Day, it'd be really nice to put some beautiful color in the living room and in the dining room with you as you get ready to sit down for your meal. All right, Green Things, located 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They also have a sister business called Zocalo, and they have beautiful merchandise imported from Mexico, some great Talavera pottery. And this year for the holidays, they've just gotten a shipment in from Mexico of these, they're like punched tin Christmas trees. So they really make a wonderful statement. You put lights inside the little Christmas tree, and it looks fabulous. So something different. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com are the two websites. All right, let's welcome now the new CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Her name is Judy Lowe. Judy, how are you?
I'm so good. It's a beautiful time in Tucson, Arizona.
It is a wonderful time. And you were interviewed in July. I, unfortunately, in the middle of summer, lost my voice. Why? I have no idea. I've been in the news business and on the radio and TV for decades, and I think I can't remember it ever happening, but it did happen. And my friend Ben Bueller Garcia did a wonderful half hour with you. And I was listening at home and I thought, you know, in a few months, I'll invite Judy back and I'll get a chance to do the interview with Judy. And here you are. You grew up in Tucson.
I did.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your background. It's fascinating. You served 13 years as the commissioner up in Phoenix at the Arizona Department of Real Estate. You were appointed by Jan Brewer.
That's right.
And then Doug Ducey reappointed you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you grew up here.
I did. Moved here with my family when I was about 4 years old and went to local schools, married my high school sweetheart. We're
did
still
you
together.
Really?
I did. Raised three sons here in Tucson.
How many years have you two been married?
I'm not going to tell you,
okay,
because it'll cause the calculator to start going.
Yeah, that's actually a good strategy. I wouldn't answer that question either. But go ahead, Judy. So you've got the kids.
We did. We raised our three sons, and when they went off to college, I decided to get into real estate. And I started as the secretary at a very large local company, Shadron Realty, back in the day.
What was the name?
Shadron.
Shadron, okay.
Uh-huh.
What years would that have been?
That would be about 1965.
Whoa.
And
wonder whatever happened to that company.
Well, Park Dano was the owner.
Okay.
And I believe he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
I got my Arizona real estate license finally, and my husband and I moved to Southern California. My husband was the training director for Toyota Motors for that LA region.
Wow.
And I worked for Coldwell Banker.
Mm-hmm.
Came back to Tucson and bought the franchise for Coldwell Banker with two partners who lived in Phoenix,
mm-hmm,
and we created Coldwell Banker Success Realty. I believe I was probably on the news with on your station
on
way
Channel
back
6.
Then.
Yeah, I think we may have. I think, mm-hmm, you know, you look so familiar. And now that I think about it, because I was on Channel 6 22 years with the program Arizona Illustrated, that's, I think you were with me on set more than one occasion.
Probably was.
Yeah.
I was actually president of the Tucson Association of Realtors
then
back
for
then.
For sure you were.
Three
times.
But
we figured,
president,
by the way, since I've been in town since 88, that I've done over 5,000, so almost 6,000 interviews
on
the
TV.
Well,
you are a legend, that's for sure.
Well, thank you very much. But anyway, so you went on with, you had the Success Realty, then you got the call for the Arizona Department of Real Estate to be
that's
the commissioner.
Right.
A lot of people have no idea what that
position is about. It's pretty important, though, isn't it?
Well, it's the actual regulation entity of the real estate industry in Arizona.
Wow.
So that entity, there are 92,000 real estate licensees in Arizona.
92,000 realtors?
92,000. Not all licensees are realtors.
Really?
92,000 licensees in Arizona, only 67,000 of them are realtors.
Yeah.
Remember that a realtor belongs to the Trade Association, the Tucson Association of Realtors, and the National Association of Realtors. And a realtor subscribes to a code of ethics and a standard of practice and builds into all of their forms, which are standard forms, protections for the consumer in the real estate transaction. So the real estate department then steps in and makes sure that all of the licensees in Arizona, including all of the realtors, are abiding by the laws of Arizona that govern the real estate transaction.
60-some thousand, though, seems, I don't know, seems like a lot of realtors.
It is.
Yeah. And a lot of them are some of them are inactive, I guess, right?
That is active.
Oh, those are active.
Those are active.
And how many are here in Southern Arizona, do you think?
We have in our Tucson Association of Realtors, we have 6,700 realtors.
All right.
No, actually, yes.
Okay.
6,700 realtors.
And what are those realtors thinking of the current real estate market?
Well, it's a little bit of, well, we're calling it a headwind.
Yeah, well, think about it like this, Judy. Probably in your long career, you have never seen a market go from being way up here on top to then what has happened over the last few months.
That's right.
Kind of give us the overview.
Well,
we'll take a deeper dive into, but what's your setup here for us?
First, I want to say that we did suffer a recession and a decline in the real estate market. Remember back in 08, 09.
Yes, yes.
But that took time to hit us. We were in a boom, new construction going, and then all of a sudden it felt like foreclosures were happening. People were behind in their payments. There was a real shutdown in the real estate industry, but there was a buildup time to that. Governor Brewer appointed me in 09, right at the very bottom of the recession, so to speak. And we grew back. Last 3 years, we've had one of the strongest real estate markets that Arizona has ever seen. And then all of a sudden, interest rates started creeping up, inflation began, we had a shortage of inventory on the market, so that drove asking prices way higher.
How low did inventory go at one point?
Well, it was
kind of the low point.
I can't tell you the number, but it was the lowest that Arizona had seen
historical
in years.
Okay.
Historically, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, of course, that drives the pricing up. And so we had a strong, strong market. And all of a sudden, interest rates started creeping up. Our first-time home buyers were priced out of the market because as those interest rates go up, their monthly payment moves up. And all of a sudden, they can't afford the monthly payment. Sad thing is, the toughest thing for a new home buyer, especially a first-time home buyer, is saving for that down payment.
Yeah.
What we're seeing right now is there are a few more homes on the market, not a lot more, but we are seeing a decline in sales because those first-time home buyers, which are the strength of any market, are just not able to buy right now. 7% interest rates drives the monthly mortgage payment up.
Think about what a tough situation that is for those young couples that want a home. I think back to the excitement when Ann and I got our first home when we were working, when I was in the media up in Las Vegas in the 70s. No more exciting feeling that actually owning a home. And you're right. You have to save up for that down payment. And now think about these people. They've saved up, and now they're hit with 7%, which kind of pushes it off to the sidelines. But they're in a difficult position because if they're renting, which they most likely are, rents are going up,
That's
Judy.
Right. That's right.
So you're kind of caught between the rock and the hard place.
That's right. And now there's actually a shortage of rentals. And the pricing of rentals are out of the affordability of most of our renters. So we have a housing crisis in southern Arizona and Tucson.
We'll talk more about it, Judy. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes. It's the Buckmaster Show. Speaking with the new CEO, she's been interim for a few months, and the Tucson Association of Realtors made the right choice, naming Judy the permanent CEO of the abbreviation acronym TAR, Tucson Association of Realtors, multiple listing service. And you also have a charity arm,
too. We do, the Tucson Realtors Charitable Foundation.
Yeah, maybe we can talk a little bit about that as well after we take the break. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Gee, where is the hour gone? It's already 10 minutes to noon, or to 1. Our hour goes pretty fast here on The Buckmaster Show. One of our great sponsors is Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that area. Surprisingly, a lot of even Tucson natives have never been over there. And we've told people about it. It's a different experience. It's about a three-hour drive, and New Mexico is wonderful this time of year. The land of enchantment is enchanting this time of year, really any time of year. Check out their website, Good Starting Place, southwestnewmexico.org. You will be very tempted by all the outdoor activities, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and just kind of hanging out in Silver City. There's some great Victorian architecture. There's some wonderful restaurants, so it makes a great getaway. Judy Lowe is with us. About 2 or 3 months ago, the board and after a national search appointed Judy as the full-time CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. I think they made a good choice. Judy spent 13 years as the commissioner of the Arizona Department of Real Estate. And before the break, Judy, we're talking about you have a real estate charity arm of your organization.
That's right, Bill. Tucson Realtors Charitable Foundation.
And there is a connection to our wonderful sponsor, Green Things.
Well, when I heard you speak of Green Things, I thought of poinsettias, mm-hmm. and you mentioned poinsettias.
Poinsettias.
And our foundation is raising funds for local charities by selling poinsettias. Delivering poinsettias to brokers, mm-hmm. to brokerages, makes a wonderful closing gift.
Sure.
To deliver a poinsettia to a home buyer who's just moved into, tonight. Hopefully, their first home.
Yeah,
this
is saying, hey, thank you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So our poinsettia drive will raise money for us to then donate to local charities.
Well, that's wonderful. And they come from, well, where else? Green Things.
Where
they grow 20,000 of the beautiful plants for the holidays. So we were talking before the break. It's a very tough market for first-time buyers. But generally, what about the market for those that, you know, they've waited and maybe they waited too long to sell their property? So I've noticed on our own street up in the foothills, where before I would see a sign go up and in weeks, less than a couple of weeks, the sign was gone. The home was sold. It's not that way anymore. They're sitting.
They are sitting. We are seeing more signs. As you drive down the streets, there's more signs in front yards. We have seen a slowdown in sales. I like to say that there's a headwind going on. We mm-hmm. haven't had a hurricane.
Yeah.
So just a headwind. But one thing that we are seeing are that the pricing is not coming down that much.
So the average new home, latest figure I saw, was more than $470,000. Is that approximately?
For a new construction home, that would be about the average
and
in southern Arizona.
A resale home average price is more than $372,000.
That's right.
So am I hearing you say, Judy, that these prices are pretty stable?
They're stable.
Which is interesting.
It is interesting. You know, when we look at the median sales price for October,
right?
A year ago, it was $337,000 mm-hmm. in October of 21. In October of 22, our median sales price, where half sold above and half sold below, so this is right in the middle, was $380,000. Mm. So it went from $337,000 a year ago. Our prices escalated up, and they're maintaining. They're very stable at that.
Why is that?
I think that that's where the market is.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to come down considerably, I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge we'll have is back to those first-time home buyers.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at interest rates 7% and the average, the median sales price is $380,000,
mm-hmm.
it just can't accommodate.
So what do you do if you're a person that's trying to sell a property? Do you put in enhancements? What should you do?
My suggestion
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
would be buy down the interest rate for the buyer.
Ooh.
So talk to your listing broker, and we're, you know, the lenders in Tucson are beginning to spread that word that a seller can buy down the interest rate for a buyer.
Really?
And
that's
that makes it affordable.
That's not talked about too much. I hadn't really heard much about that.
Well, only an old soul in real estate would think about that.
How does it work? How does something like that work?
It's written into the offer.
Okay.
It's built into the net proceeds of the seller.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces the proceeds somewhat. Mm-hmm. But right there in the offer is written that the seller will buy down the interest rate
mm-hmm.
to a lower interest rate with the lender of the buyer's choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real partnership that goes on there. And the lender who is chosen very strategically
mm-hmm.
is really adept at how to build that loan package in such a way that it makes it more affordable, especially for our first-time home buyers.
Isn't it interesting how people get very creative in these times?
You have to think outside
the
box.
You got to think outside the box, because we're talking about home rates soaring to 7%, which is, and I don't think we mentioned this in the first segment with you, that's a 20-year high.
That is.
But you have lived through these downturns. One of the reasons that the market stays stabilized price-wise is that there's a level that why go below it, because you know we're going to come out of this and people are going to get the money out of their home.
That's right. That's right. No better investment, no higher percentage of return on your investment than in real estate.
What should you look for when you are looking for a realtor?
Oh, what a wonderful question. We just talked about not every licensee in Arizona is a realtor, but really spending time getting to know several realtors if you've never bought a home before, because you have to choose that realtor. I like to say you choose your realtor for life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're ready to sell your home, you'll want to be mm-hmm. working with the person
yeah.
who helped you buy it.
Of course.
And they, you know, were your friend during all of that home ownership. And they'll probably be your realtor for the purchase of your next home.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not, if you're moving out of Arizona, that won't be the case. But if you're here going to just move up or sell to relocate somewhere else even, that realtor that you bought from and that you sold with can even refer you to someone in the city that you're moving to.
That's true.
So create that link where you have someone you know when you get there.
Good information, Judy Lowe. And again, congratulations on being named the CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Good luck with your charitable group that will be doing the whole thing with the holiday poinsettias. Great, great idea. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll look forward to our next visit with you. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of my guests, Judy Lowe and John, who does such a wonderful job for us engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.